Hi, I'm Lisette Rodriguez.
And I'm Jeremiah Rodriguez.
And this is
Speaking Life Podcast, where we're inspiring hearts
and transforming minds.
So today's topic, we're going to be talking about healthy confrontation.
I love this topic.
Healthy confrontation. Now, if you actually understand what healthy confrontation is, you'll also understand that the best leadership teams have them.
Right.
The best sport championship teams have them. And it's something that is needed. Oftentimes when we're talking about confrontation, you're thinking about people getting out of pocket, people being disrespectful. But that's not what it is. People arguing and stuff like that. That's not what it is. If I could give you a sports analogy, it's like a leadership of a basketball team telling other players what their role is and how to effectively play that role. Because that leader understands that when you effectively play that role, it leads to a title, right? That also applies in leadership. That applies in any leadership group, any group that you put together. Healthy confrontation is needed. Because if you don't have that avenue of communication, then how do you get better, right? So what's the best way to lead a healthy confrontation or even start a healthy confrontation?
Well, I would start at the end, right? Whenever I do my confrontations, which I have to do for leadership, I always start at the end. Why? Because I have to see the expected end first to then work backwards, if that makes sense.
Yes.
I have to see what I'm trying to accomplish first and then work my way back to the beginning.
Yeah, absolutely.
So when I think about healthy confrontations, that's what I do. I sit down, I purposely map it out in my mind. What am I trying to achieve by this confrontation? What is my end goal? Okay, now that I have specified what my end goal is, how am I going to accomplish that? So then I start taking steps backwards and I go to the beginning. And 9 times out of 10, I like to build first and then get to the part where it requires change. So I don't think, and I like the fact that you call it healthy confrontation, because a lot of times when people hear the word confrontation, it's always argumentative, right?
It doesn't have to be.
It's something disrespectful. It's something, you know, that's considered bad. When confrontation is actually a tool or can be a tool to make you better.
Absolutely.
So when I think about confrontation, I'm like, I'm all gung-ho, I'm all for it. I know a lot of people that don't enjoy confrontation, but I believe it's because they've experienced the negative confrontation. And there's a difference between healthy confrontation and negative confrontation.
No, for sure.
I think that's where everybody gets tied into, is what I want to say. Like, they kind of experience the bad before the good. So because their first experience has been bad, they can't ever see it being good.
Which is true. But would you say, like, healthy confrontation is the same as correction? Are they one in the same? Do they go in the same boat? Or does one lead to another?
That's a very good question. I would think a little bit of both. Healthy confrontation can lead to correction. And again, depending on the topic and depending on, again, once again, what you're trying to accomplish by that.
Yeah.
Right? But a lot of times, correction and confrontation come hand in hand, because usually the person you're trying to correct for their better will be offended. So then that leads into confrontation.
And that's the negative confrontation, kind of.
Right. So if I'm going to give you what we call constructive criticism, right, a lot of people take offense to that.
Yeah.
So now I have to confront you, because now you're out of pocket. You're upset. You took it the wrong way. So now it's going to require a confrontation.
And that's good that you brought that up, because how do you know how to approach a situation when it comes to healthy confrontation? So, like, for example, like, for me, I think it's easy for me to approach like a healthy confrontation. But I also understand that, like, not everybody's me. So, like, for me, I'm a straight shooter. I am too.
You're
I
my
don't,
son.
Hello? Yeah, exactly. But, like, not everybody's a straight shooter, right? Or everybody can't. Some people, you have to present like a confrontation or a constructive criticism in a pretty bow, in a pretty present. Others, like myself, again, you can tell them how it is. You don't have to beat around the bush. Listen, you did this, don't do it again. Okay, cool. Now I know for next time. But other people don't receive it that way. So how do you know about?
Well, that's the whole key about confrontation. You need to know who you're addressing.
Yeah.
In order to know how you're going to confront.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
So like you said earlier, there's people that are mad sensitive. So those people, you got to treat them with kid gloves, right? So those people, you got to be careful in your approach,
yeah.
right? Because you want it to benefit them and not harm them. And then there's other people that are more mature, that take it well, that you can. You're absolutely right. You can go straight to the point. Listen, if I was you, I wouldn't do this because A, B, C, D, and E. And give them clarity. And they're fine with that. They
yeah.
walk away fine with that. But there's other people that you cannot address them that way. So I think you need to know who you're addressing along with what your end goal is.
Yeah.
To then develop a strategy or a plan for healthy confrontation.
So how do you go about, like, what's your approach? And when I ask you that question, I mean, like, for me, like, if I'm going to approach somebody and correct them or guide them in the right path, and I know they're not a straight shooter, I always go with the approach or the method like, hey, can I be honest with you? Is that okay? And then I'll say what I have to say, as long as they give me the green light. I was like, I just want to be honest with you. Can I be honest with you? Is that okay?
And what if they say no?
9 times out of 10, they don't. So, because I come in a way where it's just like, I'm not trying to come at you.
Right.
But I feel like I had a friend in college, and this is where I think I started learning how to do it. But she was like, she was on 100 all the time. But like when it came to like, I guess, a dialogue or a confrontation or constructive criticism, like within a group, she would pop off. She would pop off all the time, like blah, 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 blah. And I don't know why I thought we were cool enough for me to do what I was about to do. I would go to her, like, listen, like, can I be honest with you? And she'd be like, yeah, you could do whatever you want. I'm like, I think you could have done this a little bit better. And this is a person where I didn't know if she was going to receive it well. I just kind of jumped into it. I was just like, I think you could have done this. I think you could have said this way. And that's why they reacted this way. And she took it in the sense of like, oh, wow. Like, I didn't really see that. Next time, I'll apply that. So for you, when you go into it, what's your method? Do you have like a saying? Do you have like a phrase? Do you have like a here's step one? Let's even the playing field. Let's talk about this real quick. I want to be honest with you in this area. Can we have a healthy conversation?
It all depends. I mean, it's not, you know.
Because everybody's different.
Yeah. It all depends on who I'm speaking to. And once again, the goal that I'm trying to achieve.
Yeah.
Right? So I am a builder at heart. I love building people.
Yeah.
I am passionate about women, which is why I have a mentorship program just for women. I'm passionate about building others. I'm passionate. I just like building.
Yeah.
Right? And in liking to build, it takes intentionality on my part to see their good side before pointing out their side that may be lacking.
Yeah.
Make sense?
Yeah, absolutely.
So when I look at a person and I know I'm going to speak to this person regarding any specific topic, I first look at them and I try to observe, what are your positive attributes?
Mm-hmm.
What are your strong points? Because 9 times out of 10, I'll start my conversation that way. Hey, I've noticed you are great at this. You're great at that. You know, you're diligent about this. You're very committed about that. You know, I love the way you do this. I love the way you go about that. And I build them. Once they feel confident, then I come in, well, this is one area I think if you change it, you would become even greater. You see how I did that?
Yeah, yeah.
So I'm not demanding change.
You're just
I'm not
them.
Telling them you better change or else.
Yeah.
I'm pulling the pastor card. I'm, you know, I have the high authority card. No, I'm building you. And in building you, because I want you to get further along, this is one area where I think that if you're intentional about it, you could become even greater than what you currently are now.
Yeah.
And our goal is always, like Paul said, right? I'm not confessing to have obtained it yet, but yeah. I do strive towards the mark. Like, in other words,
absolutely.
It's something that we're continually going after, right? We were talking about perfection earlier. So it's not that we live this perfect life, but every day we ought to strive to be, to be perfect, to try our best. Not that we're going to ever achieve it, like Paul said, right? But one thing I do know, that I will die trying.
Yeah.
even if I haven't reached it yet. So I love to build. And my thing is, and if you know me well enough, you will know, I never get anything out of tearing somebody down. So that is just not me. And I think the people that receive, that are on the receiving end, would have to understand where we're coming from or know us well enough to know that we're coming from a better place, a good place. Make sense?
That makes a lot of sense. Because I do this. So what I tell my young adults all the time is my job is to get you to a place where you don't need me anymore.
Right.
That is my job, to get you to a place where you can be good on your own. You don't need Jeremiah anymore. So even when I'm talking with somebody one-on-one, I say the same thing. I reiterate it. My job is to get you to a place where you don't need me anymore. So let's start here. This is what I think you could have done better. This is where I think you kind of lacked off in. But this is how we can improve. So let's improve on that and see how we can propel forward. But what about those people that even you can have all the great intentions in the world, but still, oh, you're judging me. You're doing this to me. You're not coming from a place of love. When all actuality, you are, but they're just not in the right heart posture to receive it.
Well, you got to understand that, you know, everyone is not going to receive us the same, right?
That's facts.
So there are certain people that we're going to work with because they allow us to work with them. But those that are defiant and refuse to see what we're trying to do, at one point or another, you just got to give them up to the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
Right? At some point, you're going to have to say, God, you know what? Deal with their heart, because I've tried the best way I know how to try, and I haven't been able to reach the goal. So I'm giving them over to you. And there's people that are like that. There's people that you're going to have to hand over to God and allow God to touch their heart. Right? I was in a particular situation with a family member. Mm-hmm. And they just came out of pocket. And I'm like, what in the world is happening? And while at the moment, I remember getting angry. I remember getting frustrated. I remember being offended and hurt, because my good intentions were totally twisted. Like, it was almost demonic. Mm-hmm. And at that point in time, I already knew that there was nothing I can say. There was no apology. There was nothing positive that I can say as a builder that would cause me to have the reaction I was looking for. So I just gave them up to God. I said, God, this person is in your hands. God, you need to touch their heart. God, I ask that your Holy Spirit would embrace this person right where they're at. I ask that your Holy Spirit would go and convict them. Because you see, there's certain things that are out of our power and out of our hands. And we have to be okay with that.
Yeah.
Because as leaders, if we're smart, we'll understand that we're not always going to have the answer.
Yeah.
We're just not. Listen, what we're asking God to do is to use and to use us and to speak through us, right? Mm-hmm. And when the person is non-receptive, we have to understand that in our humanity, we have a limit.
That's true. We do have a limit.
It doesn't matter what our best intention is. We have a limit. So once you see that you've done all you can, you just, like the song says, right? You just stand.
Yeah, absolutely.
But I don't just stand and start hating on that person. I stand and I'm in a posture of praying for that person.
Yeah.
And being more intentional, because I know beyond the shadow of a doubt that what I can do as an individual, the Holy Spirit can do.
Absolutely.
So just recognizing that we are limited while we're here on earth, but that the Holy Spirit has the reach that we may not have for that certain individual, and be okay with it. And long story short, that individual did turn around and ended up apologizing and told me, guess what? The Holy Spirit convicted me.
Holy Spirit will snitch on you.
So you already know that when I pray,
yeah,
I see results.
For sure.
We know this, right?
For sure. We know.
You know, I believe in the power of prayer. So yeah, when I pray, I see results. Now, it may not be the results I want to see all the time. Let's be clear.
Yeah.
You know, because, you know, they are the results that God has in store for me. And I want nothing more than just that.
That's good. That's good. So we touched on the topic. We touched on the basis of like people speaking to one another, healthy confrontation.
Right.
What about those people who got beef with one another but refuse to speak to one another? So in a sense of like they come to the same place, maybe whether it be work, church, hang out in the same friend group and stuff like that. But they refuse to speak to one another to clear the air. They rather just
in a scenario like that.
Yeah.
Because I've been in that scenario before. What I've done is speak to them individually.
Yeah.
Right. Because sometimes when you have them together in the same room, they both have their ears closed. In other words, one is waiting for you to hit the other harder than them.
Yeah.
So it's almost like a spirit of competition. Like, you better say she's wrong. You better say no. You better say she's wrong. Right. So what I normally do is that I speak to them individually first, try to get them to a place of understanding. And if I feel that it's safe, now I bring them together.
Yeah.
So what's happening? They both know what to expect, because sometimes you come in tense and you come in with these walls already built because you don't know what you're going to confront.
Yeah, yeah.
So I give them that. I give them the ability to know, hey, this is what you could expect coming into this meeting. And this is ultimately my goal.
Yeah.
Right? So they come in with a healthy understanding, and hopefully that works.
Yeah, because I mean, from a leader's perspective, like I said in the beginning of this episode, like let's say like LeBron James on a basketball team, like he's a leader of a team, right? Or like Steph Curry. Their job is to lead, right? So in leading, so obviously you're going to have teammates who don't like each other. You're going to have teammates who love each other. You have teammates that are cool just at work. But knowing when, how do you know as a leader when to, I guess, pluck the two, like, all right, something's going on here. Let's figure this out. Like, when is that that discernment kick in, or how do you approach that scenario? I don't know if that's the same as before.
I've learned through experience, because in the past, my method was like, oh, let it go. Sweep it under the rug. You know, it'll get better. You know, just let it go.
Yeah.
Don't address it right now. Just let it go. They just had an off day. And I would make up every reason in the book. Oh, they just had an off day. They'll get better. Until I had to confront the monster that I allowed to develop.
Yeah.
Because when you don't confront it right there and then in the moment, it creates this monster, because they start thinking that their actions are okay. And what happens is that they start to get stronger and stronger in their wrong actions, which is not a good thing.
No.
Right? So I've learned that you got to do it right there and then. You cannot wait for the monster to develop. You have to kill the monster when it's only in the shape of a seed. Because if not, it's going to be greater, the work at the end.
Yeah.
So I'd rather tackle it now in the beginning and be confrontational, healthy confrontation.
Yeah.
Then to wait to see it explode, and now you're putting out fires. I don't want to be a fireman. I want to be a builder.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I don't want to have to wait and extinguish that which I could have been building from the onset, if that makes sense.
No, that makes complete sense, yeah.
So when I see things going, you know, wrong, like, I've done it, and it works. I've called people, like, listen, I want to have a heart-to-heart with you. Or, hey, listen, you know, I want to talk to you. Listen, I've noticed this. Hey, I saw this. Because sometimes when people feel that, you know, they're not being seen, especially if the action was a negative one.
Yeah.
It's like you almost empower them to continue down that negative streak. It's almost like you're not saying it verbally, but with your lack of action, you're saying, it's okay. We'll tolerate that. We're good. Yeah.
No boundaries.
Go ahead. Keep on mistreating that person. I see you. I didn't say anything, but it's okay. You know?
Yeah.
So what are we doing? We're building this monster that at the end of the day, we're going to have to confront.
Yeah.
I'm not for it. So sometimes, you know, right there on the spot, I will tell that person, hey, what you said right now is not cool. Or if there's a lot of people around, because I don't want to make it a scenario, I'll wait, or I'll text that person, hey, we got to talk. Right? Because I'm not trying to embarrass you either.
Yeah.
That's not my goal. You know, and sometimes people, understandably so, they don't like to be corrected in front of others. I get it. So I'll give you that. So if it can wait, it'll wait. But rest assured that from the first set time I see it, I'm going to call your attention on it, because I don't want a fire to develop.
Yeah.
And then have to be the fireman trying to put it out. That's worse.
For sure.
That confrontation, you know, what positive thing are you going to have to say about that? Well, I've seen the way you've mistreated this person nicely. And then I've seen the way you've, you know, gone against this. Like, that doesn't work. You know what I'm saying? So there is no healthy confrontation there, you know. So in order to avoid that type of confrontation, I would have to nip it at the bud. And I've learned that waiting is not a good thing. Maybe it is for other things, but definitely not. Yeah, because when you wait on those type of scenarios, you're just empowering them to continue to go down the wrong road.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. What advice would you give to somebody who, like you said before, is afraid to have the healthy confrontation? Like, what advice would you give them to kind of come out of their shell in order to have that conversation instead of sweeping things on the rug, maybe because they're scared what the other person might say? Or
meaning that they have to have the conversation with somebody?
Yeah, like, not that they, I mean, I guess they have to have the conversation. Look, I'm thinking about, oh, that's bad. No. Having that healthy conversation, like, oh, this person keeps doing this or this person keeps doing that, but they never confront it, but they always complain about it. What would you say to somebody like that?
I would actually tell them, listen, and I have done that before, right? Because I'm not trying to micromanage my leaders. If you're a leader at Hope Worship Center, you know that. I try to give them space because I believe, watch, in their failures and in their successes, they learn.
Absolutely.
How to become better leaders.
Yeah.
So I don't like micromanaging. I don't want to be that pastor that micromanages each leader. So I give them their space. But if they had to confront somebody else and they asked me for my opinion, or they asked me, hey, how do you feel about this? Then I would ask them the same questions. Well, what's your end goal? What are you trying to accomplish? Okay, well, let's work backwards.
Yeah.
To the beginning. Like, I would just try to train them the way I do, but also give them different scenarios, because I understand they may not be comfortable with my method. That's my method. That's what's worked for me. Every leader has to develop their own method according to your personality, according to the way you see things, right? Because you're not going to see the way I see. So I see, you know, I'm a builder.
Yeah.
So I have the sight of a builder. I don't know that everybody sees the way I see.
That's true. That's very true.
And I may say, I think I got that way under the teaching of my pastor, which is Reverend Glenn Wilson. You know, he always taught us how to see the good in others and to develop that. Because at the end of the day, that's our goal. Our goal is to develop others so that, like you said earlier, they won't need us.
Yeah.
And what happens? Then they develop others. It's supposed to be like a domino effect.
Absolutely.
So depending on the temperament of this person and depending on how this person reacts with confrontation, I could give them scenarios, right? Because I'm a firm believer, there's always more than one way to say something.
Yeah.
Right? I tell my leaders all the time, you can come off rude and get straight to the point, well, I think X, Y, Z, da, da, da. Or you can say, hey, so in observing, I noticed, you see, you say the same thing, but there's different ways of saying it. And you're saying the same exact thing. It's just, what are you trying to achieve by having this healthy confrontation?
Yeah.
That's the goal.
Absolutely.
So what do you, okay, I get it. We're frustrated at times. I tell my leaders too. You're frustrated. You have the right to be frustrated. You have the right to be angry. You have the right to be upset. Take a step back. Exhale. When you feel better, now let's have this confrontation. Because the biggest mistake we can make as leaders is trying to have, even if it's a healthy confrontation, being in a bad place.
Yeah.
If you are in a bad place, if you are in a bad mood, if you are still operating under the spirit of offense, if you're still operating under the spirit of anger, let's not have that confrontation right now.
Oh, for sure.
Let's be mature and let's wait for us to calm down. And now let's think about it again, right? Because sometimes, you know, a couple of hours or for some people, a couple of days, hey, but don't let it go on too long, because this is what happens. After a couple of days, you feel better. You're like, you know what? Forget it. I'm not going to address that after all. Just, you know, forget it. I'm over it. You're over it. But have they learned their lesson?
Yeah, that's true.
I'm glad you're over it. But letting it go is creating a monster.
And you're teaching people how to treat you. You're teaching people how to treat yourself.
How to treat you and how to treat others.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think when it comes to, like, healthy confrontation, I think the biggest mistake that people make is not listen. People are so quick to speak, but not listen to the other side. When I usually get into an argument, I don't pride myself in arguments. I don't like to argue, but I know I'm good at them. But I am. I do not like to argue. I'll put that on the record. I do not like to argue, but don't argue with me. But what I usually tell people is that this is not an argument of like who's going to win. It's more so of an understanding. Let's have a conversation about understanding. And I think the biggest way I've been challenged with this is with my fiance, Natalie. You know, she's more on the sensitive side and more, again, like I said before, I'm a straight shooter. So we would get into healthy confrontation and she would tell me her side, but I wasn't exactly listening. Well, that she communicated to me because I'm more so, all right, this is the problem. Here's the solution.
You don't care what she got to say.
I guess inadvertently, that's what it was. That's what I was giving off. That's what the communication I was having because she was telling me the problem. I'm like, all right, well, here's the solution. All right, let's move on. Because that's how I operate. You know, like I said before, like I love being a leader and leaders, what they do, they find multiple solutions and they just execute. So when I notice a problem, all right, here's a solution. Here's A, B, C, and D. Let's try them out. Boom, boom, boom. Why ponder on that when we can just move on? But I also have to understand that sometimes people just want you to listen. Regardless, they don't want a solution right away. They just want you to listen. But again, when it comes to healthy conversation, I think people fail to listen. So what are your thoughts on that? The listening aspect.
That is so true though. Because I think in a way, like if I already know what you're going to talk to me about, I've already made up my mind.
Oh, I do that all the time in my car.
Before having the conversation.
And you know what? I get myself mad in my car. I'm like, she about to say this. So I'm thinking, I'm like, you know what? I'm playing chess. This person playing checkers. So I'm going to win. And then when I come to see that person, none of what I thought ever happens. And I'm just like, I just got mad for like 20 minutes.
For no reason.
For no reason. When we just had a delightful conversation. I didn't think it was going to go this way, but I was prepared. You know what I mean? I like to prepare.
I think that for those that are not listening is because they have already mentally made up in their mind, this is the way it's going to go.
Yeah.
I don't care what you have to say. Nothing you can say is going to change my mind. This is the way it's going to go. So when you think that way and when you go, see, sometimes it's easier or it's better to catch the person off guard. Only because of this, watch.
Okay.
Because if you're going to speak to an overthinker, these are the people that don't listen because they've already have this figmentation in their mind of what you're going to say and why you're going to say it. And they already went back, well, this person must have said something and this person must have said something. And I'm going to tell them blah, blah, blah. So in their head, like you said earlier, they're playing this whole scenario.
Yeah.
Right? So when they get to the meeting, no matter how positive or how building you try to be, they already have zoned you out because in their mind, they're going to say what they're going to say.
Yeah.
See what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah.
Where if you know the end goal, what you're trying to achieve, sometimes, depending on the person, you're better off like surprising them. Hey, you got a minute?
That's true.
Because now you don't have time to think.
Well, I do that with people regardless because I hate when you text me like, hey, I got to talk to you. I'm like,
I know.
I'm like, what did I do? What happened?
Certain other people I already know. Like, yeah. I can't tell them, hey, we got to talk because right away it's like, well,
she says that, but she still does it. She still does it. So I'm just like, what did I do? I know for a fact I didn't do anything wrong, but I still ask. I'm like, did I do something wrong? Did I say something out of pocket?
What? We're busy people.
We are busy people.
So if I'm not intentional and I know that once I tell you, hey, we got to talk, I captured his attention. Like, that's it. It's a done deal. If I don't
terrible,
do that.
Terrible sandwich. Real terrible.
If I don't do that, you won't give me the time that I need. So it's like.
You could do it another way. Like, hey, I want to talk to you about X, Y, and Z for a little bit. You got time later? You don't have to hit me. Like,
no.
You don't have to hit me with, oh, I got to talk to you later.
No, like, because this is what I'm going to get.
What happened?
This is what I'm going to get. I already made plans with Nat.
No, that's not true.
Can't wait.
That's not true.
This is what's going to happen.
You haven't even attempted.
Excuse me. You're my son. I already know. So I try to hold on to it as long as I can. But then when I reach that boiling point, I'm like, look, we need to talk. Like, let's talk. And I know I captured his attention. There's other people under our leadership that the same thing. I know who I can say, hey, let's talk. Let's schedule a meeting to talk. And I know who I can say, it has to be on the fly at the moment.
Yeah.
So, again, it goes back to knowing who you're addressing at the time. So it's not about, you can have a healthy confrontation with anyone, but it depends on their outlook of that confrontation as well, or of that said meeting.
Yeah.
Because if you know that they're the type of person that's very, you know, apprehensive and gets very, you know, offended very easily, you might not want to announce that you want a meeting. You might have to see when you know you're going to be in the same proximity with that person and just kind of on the fly, hey,
build up the courage. So yeah, talk, yeah.
Because that'll go off better than giving them the opportunity to ponder on it. Like, what are they going to say?
And then you're
what could they possibly have to say? I wonder if it's about this. I wonder if it's about that. So they come already apprehensive, almost like offended, but not fully offended because they don't know what they're going to talk about, but just like with their guard up is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, of course, of course.
So healthy confrontations are good. They're the only way that it helps us to grow. So when we say we want more, it requires healthy confrontation.
Yeah.
When we say we want greater, it requires healthy confrontation.
Absolutely.
You know, when we say we want, you know, we want to be better, it requires healthy confrontation. I still get confronted.
Yeah.
By my overseer, by my mentor. And while I get it, we don't like it. But when we understand and we sit in the seat of, hey, this is for my own good, it makes it easier to swallow.
Absolutely. And the whole goal, and like confrontation will lead you to elevation.
And that's our goal.
Confrontation will lead you to elevation. It's like Pastor Jerry Flower said it in his Therapy Thursday podcast. He was saying how we're afraid to be freshmen again. Mm. We're afraid to be freshmen again. And what does a freshman do? You're relearning, right? Mm. When you're a senior in high school, you're the big person on campus. But when you go to college and you're a freshman, you're going back to one. So the difference between 1 and 11 is that 11 is one on a different level. And then 21 is one on a different level, but you have to go back to the beginning in order to elevate and to be a freshman again. And confrontation allows, gives room for that because why? It's helping you elevate, right? It's like, oh, listen, you did this to me or I did this to you. Like, I think you could have done this better. All right, cool. Now what? Now you can take what you learned and apply it and now move to the next level.
We need to understand as well that confrontation are teachable moments.
Yeah.
That's all they are.
Yeah.
They're teachable moments of something we already did, and now we're going to teach you how you can do better.
Yeah.
Right? So I got that from my pastor, Glenn Wilson. Like, you know, he said, Lisette, one thing I have to always reiterate to you, remain teachable.
Absolutely. You have to.
A lead pastor, remain teachable. Yeah. Why? Acknowledging that you don't know everything.
No, for sure.
And that there are going to be certain experiences. They're going to be, I was talking to somebody earlier today, you're always going to have your ups and you're always going to have your low valleys.
Yeah.
But trust me when I tell you, as much as we try to avoid those low valleys, they're so teachable. That's where we grow. That's where God forms us and molds us and produces character and produces tenacity and produces faith and endurance. It's in those low moments.
Yeah.
So I get it. We love to be on the top of the mountain. I get it. I love to be on the top of the mountain too. But if I want to get to a greater mountain, the reality is I'm going to have to go back down into the valley. So we must remain teachable. And healthy confrontation is nothing more, nothing less than teachable moments.
No, for sure. And I believe the greats know how to have a healthy confrontation. And I'm talking about the greats, right? Whoever you consider a GOAT. I was watching The Last Dance, a documentary on Michael Jordan, and his teammates spoke about him. And they were like, yo, this man's a jerk. Like, blah, blah, he's just, he's like, his method is just terrible. But he's like, you know what? It made us better. Because what Michael Jordan required of his other teammates was to be great. But he confronted them in a way that made them uncomfortable.
Right.
Because if you just stay in a place of complacency, you'll never grow. So he knew he had to come from a different method, not a so much a friendly method, but I expect to win. And if I expect to win, I expect you to be different. I expect because I'm on the court that it enhances your level of play. And ultimately, we're going to hold up that championship. Why? Because you decided to, you know, elevate yourself in the midst of this confrontation, and this is propelling you to the next.
And I get it. Sometimes confrontation is painful, but the reality is, I say this all the time, right? Pain has the power to produce.
Absolutely.
So you want to produce, but you don't want to endure the pain. Yeah. You can't.
Nah.
That's like going to the gym with a trainer, and you know, you're so used to doing certain workouts, they no longer challenge you. So once that trainer asks you to do a different workout, lift weights a different way, and you get that soreness in your body and your arms and your legs. Yeah. You know, like the other day I saw your sister walking wobbly. I'm like, what's wrong? She was like, it was leg day at the gym. Right? So it's like pain has the power to produce. So what are we saying? We don't enjoy the pain.
Yeah.
But we're looking so forward to what it's about to produce.
And shout out to Leah for putting in that work, yo.
Go, girl. I'm so proud of you.
She likes confrontation because when we go to the gym, she don't fight me on nothing. I'm just like, ah, oh, come on. We can do this. We can do this. And she's all for it. Even if she knows about the pain,
so
she's about
painful.
To endure.
But again, it's about, I don't like the pain, but I like what it produces.
Absolutely.
So I'm going to tolerate the pain, right? Because God doesn't allow any storm to come to hinder us. He allows the storm to come to elevate us.
Yeah, absolutely.
So the very thing that you're trying to avoid is the thing that he's sending to take you to where you're asking him to take you.
For sure.
So sometimes we avoid pain, not understanding that pain has the power to produce.
Muhammad Ali said it like this, work hard now so that way you can live the rest of your life like a champion.
That's it.
That's it.
That is so good.
That is it.
That is so good.
So guys, that's it. That's it for today. Again, like I say all the time, make sure you like, share, subscribe, hit that bell for the notification on all podcast platforms. And again, tell us what you want to hear. Give us a review. Talk to us so we can talk to you. That's the whole point of this. And again, shout out to our producer, Vanessa Rodriguez. Reach out to her at Vanessa Films on Instagram. Reach out to her. She does phenomenal work and she's doing this podcast and many other podcasts, by the way.
So I hope you guys had a great time with us today. I enjoyed the conversation.
I did too.
And I hope more than anything, I hope you learned something from it.
And I hope you understand it's okay to have healthy confrontation. It is needed.
So I hope today that we accomplish what we set out for, which is to
inspire hearts
and transform minds.